Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. I was not trying to be antisocial this morning. As Mr. Steve mentioned in his prayer, I am coming down with something. I do not know what it is. I went to the doctor Friday and my flu test was negative, and I would expect to feel worse than I feel if it was flu, but I've got all this congestion, and this morning when I got up, the thermometer read 99.7, and so with that, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to be antisocial today. I'm going to sit over in my little corner, away from everybody. I will not go to the back at the end of services. I will not be shaking y'all's hands. I'm going to stay away from y'all. Do me a favor, stay away from me. I love y'all, and I don't want anyone else to get sick. And so you'll come in contact with it somewhere, but it's not going to be from me. But I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. If you would, continue to keep Micah in your prayers. Harrison's doing great. He's been fever-free for about 60 hours at this point. Has no other symptoms, so I think he's done and bounced back and ready to rock. Reagan at no point has ever ran a fever. She's just been Miss Rockstar thus far while this is going around. But Micah, on the other hand, has two locations currently in the house. Either in the bed or on the couch, and those are the only places that she goes. She's having a rough time with it, and so if you could keep her in your prayers, I would appreciate that. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law." It seems like in every list that you go to that lists things that should be characteristics of the Christian, there is one thing that you will find in every list, and that is the characteristic of love. Love is something that we as Christians should have. It's something that we as Christians must have if we are going to be pleasing to the God of heaven. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 5 through 10 and talks about adding the Christian graces. And after all of those things, at the very end of the list, he says, and add to brotherly kindness, love. Jesus talked about the fact that love would be a distinguishing characteristic of his disciples. In John 13, 35, he said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Brethren, it's not incorrect to say that just as in order to be the Lord's church, our worship must be according to His Word. The things that we require for salvation must be according to His Word. We should be organized according to His Word. But also, to be the Lord's church, love must be present. If it is not a church of love, it is not a church of Christ. As we think about love this morning, there are two different words actually in the Greek language that you have in your Bibles that's translated love. There is the word phileo, a Greek word meaning brotherly love or friendship. And you may think of Philadelphia when you hear that. And of course, we know Philadelphia is what? The city of brotherly love. But there's also the Greek word agape. And it is that word that we want to look at this morning. This is a love that should characterize the Christian. And many times it is referred to as an unconditional love. In Vine's definition of New Testament words, he defines agape love this way: Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or toward men generally, is not an impulse from the feelings. It does not always run with the natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself only upon those for whom some affinity is discovered. Vine's is saying this isn't a love that you see something in someone that you like and thus you show love towards them. He said this love is different. It doesn't run with the natural inclinations. Love seeks the welfare of all. Works no ill to any. Love seeks opportunity to do good to all men, and especially them that are of the household of faith. It is this love that is often used to characterize God. How God loved us even when we were still sinners. Because it is a love that is not based on the object of the affection, but it's based on the person who is doing the loving. That's why Paul could write that the greatest of these is love. This morning, three things that we want to notice about this kind of love. A love that we should have, a love that we must have if we're going to be pleasing to God. Number one this morning, love is the highest motive for our actions. Love is the highest motive for our actions. There are a lot of factors that can motivate us to act, but love is the greatest of these factors. I watched a movie one time, and the name of the movie escapes my memory at this point. I think Vince Vaughn was in it. But there was a scene in the movie where they had some people over to their house for like a dinner party. And afterwards, Vince Vaughn's sitting down. He's starting to play a video game. And the girlfriend, wife, whoever was in the kitchen starting to clean up the dishes. And she made some comment about him not helping out, and so he came in there angrily and started doing the dishes. And she said, "Well, just stop." And he said, "What? You want me to do the dishes?" And she said, "No, I want you to want to do the dishes." What was she saying? She wanted love to motivate him to want to help out with the things that needed to be done. You see, love is the greatest motivator that we can have. There are lots of temporary, imperfect motivators. When it comes to the Christian life, a couple that come to mind, first off, fear. Fear can be a temporary motivator. A fear of going to hell, of spending eternity there, yeah, that can motivate us. But you know, eventually that fear wanes. It's only a temporary motivator. The flip side of that, the reward of heaven, that can be a motivator. But I would submit to you that even that is only a temporary motivator. The old saying, the carrot or the stick. I would submit to you that we need more than carrot or stick to motivate us to live faithfully. And that great motivator is the aspect of love. A love for God and a love for Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In a couple of areas there, we see the fact that love should motivate us to live faithfully. It should motivate us to want to keep the commandments of God. But love is a key component in what Jesus called the greatest commandment. You recall in Matthew 22 and also in Mark 12 that they came to Jesus and they asked him, "What's the greatest commandment?" "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And he said, "The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Y'all, love is a key component in that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. When you think about love, you can't think about it without thinking about 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. In the first three verses, Paul shows us this idea of love being the great motivator. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Paul said, "I can do all of these things, all of these great, grand things, but if love is not the motivation behind them, friends, it's not going to do any good. I can do all I want for the cause of Christ, but if I don't have the proper motivation, love, Paul says that it's worthless." Love is the highest and the most important motive for my actions. Number two, love is more powerful than anything else. Love is more powerful than anything else. We've seen the news reports, you've heard the stories. A mom wrestling a bear, trying to keep it away from her children. Being able to lift incredibly heavy objects. I saw one just the other day. A dad who killed a wolf with his bare hands because it grabbed a hold of the jacket of his son and was trying to drag his son off. Love causes people to do amazing things. Listen to the words of John in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. John said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he whose fears has not been made perfect in love." John says love is so powerful, it casts out fear. Those two aren't going to occupy the same space. He says love casts that fear out. It was the power of love that called called God to send his son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." What was it that held Jesus to the cross? It was love. 1 John 3:16, in 1 John, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Listen to how Paul describes this powerful force called love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 8. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Without a doubt, friends, love is more powerful than anything else. Third and final, love is permanent. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love." Why is love the greatest? I would submit to you that it's because love is permanent. Faith one day will become sight. Hope will be realized. But love will last. Notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." But one day we'll see, won't we? In heaven, you and I will see God face to face. We'll see Jesus face to face. We'll see all those things that we've had faith in. That faith will be realized. It will become sight. Also, our hope will be realized. What are we hoping for? We're hoping for that heavenly home. Hebrews 11:16 talks about that heavenly country. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, Paul writes, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he already sees?" One day you and I will see it all. That hope will be realized. But friends, love will still remain. That love for God, that love for Jesus, that love for our brethren, that will continue throughout eternity. Let me ask you an important question this morning. Do you love God? Do you love Him enough to obey Him? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, will you take that step? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin and repentance, confessing that belief before men, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. I realize many of you have done that. Have you turned away from the God that loves you? Have you turned away from the Savior that died for you? Friend, come back home. Love It's something that we need to show others. It's something that God has shown us. And it's something that we need to show God. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.